great to be together again. I encourage you to have your Bibles out and follow along. This lesson tonight, as we're down the last two nights, and they involve people in God's service that doesn't necessarily fit a profile that we might like to admire. But we're not going to focus on that. Because the next two nights, the lesson is not about the person. And it's not about King David tonight. As much as it is about his standing with God. David is a character, and we all know the story. And I was sitting thinking today about the lesson, and at this point in the week, and thinking, I don't want to go read through all this tonight. David did some bad stuff, didn't he? We've talked about that, hadn't we? And we know David's story. And so I have the outlines. My daughter does those outlines, and Jeff has printed those out for us. You're welcome to read through the details. I think we know them. David and Bathsheba. But David was not known for that. When you talk about David from a positive perspective, again, we're painting portraits, okay? So we're taking information that's given, and I might be focusing on certain aspects that paint a certain picture, and I had, with intention, I had certain things I want to bring out about each individual character. And in some cases, well, and I feel like for the most part this week, we've looked at a substantial amount of information that tell us about these individuals that we've looked at and well supported. And we're getting snapshots of people's life. The Bible, except for Jesus, doesn't give us a big, huge picture of people. Well, David. But David, because he wrote so many Psalms, we know a lot about David. But David, in my mind, when I think of David, once I get past the problem David, the difficult David, the sinning David, the David who's causing problems and failing and stumbling, this passage here in 1 Samuel 13 has to come to mind, doesn't it? Samuel said unto Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom forever upon Israel. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. That was King David. And as we look and think about King David's life, so I'm going to tell you, this lesson might, you deserve a short lesson. I don't actually like to preach past 30 minutes, but I've been looking at our lessons, and I've not preached less than 30 minutes yet. So it may be tonight you get a little shorter message, but it's a powerful message because it's not about the failures of David. David and Bathsheba, he does things that he shouldn't have done. He should have been at war. And Bathsheba was obviously recorded something pretty to look at. She was a favorable woman. And so we know what happened. She has conceives. David being king, whatever the circumstances are, he summons her, and that's what happens. And there's a great lesson here for us. We talk about progression of sin. This is worthy of time. We're gonna talk about this a little bit. Intention is not to labor on this part of it even. But we see a progression of sin here. There's some great lessons, as well as we could do a lesson on this by itself. And talk about how David, what point in time could David have changed his mind and turned and gone the other way? He walked through a lot of steps, didn't he? That he could have changed his mind and done other things. When he looked at her, he could have looked the other way. He can't help what he saw, but he can help what he does with it afterward. And so then he dwelt on her. And then he inquired, and then he summoned, and then he had the relationship. And so, you know, from an innocent oops at the top of the list, he fell victim to temptation, didn't he? The oldest sin of mankind, I guess it is. Well, that's except for murder. We know what happened. The lesson here is what we're taught about ourselves, that God promises us a way of escape. How many places could David have escaped in this? A lot of places, right? That I call, maybe call them exit ramps. You know, you come if you're on interstate or whatever you're thinking at in life. You can let's take this exit here. But no, David stayed on that road. He stayed on that road and stayed on that road. And of course, we know. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 is God makes a way of escape for us. We're not going to be tempted beyond what we're able to withstand. And I believe that blessing was for David too. I think that this is an attribute and a function that God has done throughout life of mankind is protect us and give us a way of escape. Well, he had lots of chances, didn't he? But again, what I want to focus on and the portrait of David I want to portray is not about his hideous sin. Because it didn't stop there, did it? Now he's got a husband to deal with. One of his valiant men. This wasn't a servant. This wasn't a bum. This wasn't someone who was mooching off. This was a valiant man. And we know what happened to Uriah. He calls him from battle. He sends him home. And that don't work. Then he gets him drunk and sends him home. And Uriah, he shows his character. This man is got some fortitude, doesn't he? Contrasted with David. David didn't show much fortitude, did he? But Uriah, and so it don't work, does it? It don't work. David's still digging that hole, right? You ever heard when you get in trouble, stop digging? What's the first thing you do when you find yourself in a hole? Stop digging. David's still digging. He's still digging, and so he sends him back with his own death letter to Joab. He gives Uriah, says, here, take this and give this to Joab, and it says, you send Uriah up to the front because I want him dead. And that's what happens. He gets the report back because he cannot contain himself and desires something that's not his. He does all these things, and then he takes Bathsheba as a wife. And it does say, oops, hit the wrong button there. It was evil in the sight of Jehovah. Right? Maybe he didn't learn anything from King Saul, but we've been talking about this week, hadn't we? King Saul, I mean, all he did was he offered a sacrifice because his army was fleeing that needed to be offered to God. You know, he conquered King the Amalekites, King Agag, utterly destroyed all the people. The people got these animals for sacrifices. There was such good merit. We can paint that portrait that those people, those Israelites were going to serve God with all those sacrifices, that the good of the stock they took out of the land. And which one of those men was justified before God? David. He did evil inside of Jehovah, just like similar to King Saul. And then Nathan's parable. And again, this is one of those we could read through this and we know the parable. You know, there's a rich man and a poor man, and the rich man takes the poor man's sheep, and it's a pet sheep because it's got a name. And if you ever think about naming pets, this is a pet sheep. This is his favorite and all those things. And you can read that. And I guess that's a good reason that you have the outline. So if you want to tonight or tomorrow, you can read that if you like. But this, for today's lesson, let's not, you know. So David is confronted by Nathan the prophet, and we probably know this story. And then David, he has his judgment against it. The judgment, David's own judgment, is to restore four times what was taken, you know. The man should be execute this guy. He deserves it. How hideous of him to take this guy's only sheep, his favorite sheep. And he recognized he lacked pity and sympathy. And, you know, thou art the man. Thou art the man. And this is where it changes from King Saul, isn't it? Remember when King Saul, Samuel come to King Saul and said, you are the man, you've done evil? King Saul, no, I've done what God said. I've done it. I saved Agag, but I slaughtered the nation. The people kept of the spoils. No, the people did that. Remember that over? He did that twice. But the people. David He owned up to it. And that's the story of David to me. When I think about King David, and the hideous thing he did here with Bathsheba, and all that happened there, deceiving Uriah, killing Uriah, takes his wife then as his own, and all along the way, it just keeps getting worse and worse, digging that hole deeper and deeper. But David repented. David and Saul. David repented. And if you look, and we look, and the transparency of David, and I've seen some other preachers, it's like, did he really do that? And then you go look at the Psalms, and David just pours his heart out in his Psalms. Love to have a better knowledge myself of the Psalms, but when you look at it, you see what's in there. I have sinned. Again, another time and another example, when an incident with King Saul, he repented then. This was a pattern. David was approachable. David was reachable. David truly, on some level, cared to serve God, loved God enough and was concerned enough for him that what he wanted to be right with God over being right of himself and showing himself right and convincing himself to be right. And how much opposite of that is King Saul? I mean, King Saul didn't kill nobody, like that didn't murder. He didn't take somebody's wife and then kill him so he could have his wife. He didn't do nothing hideous like that. King Saul just offered a sacrifice. And you see how I'm playing that. I'm minimizing what King Saul did and condemning what David did, but in reality is neither one of them stood right before God, did they? What was different? David repented. David said, "You're right. I see that, Nathan." And he goes to God, and you look at his Psalms and see how he pours his heart out. We've talked about King Saul. David was a God after man's own heart. David was justified before God, not because he was perfect and sinless. And how many times, I can only speak for myself, we forget that we sin too. We sometimes, I'll look and think of the world in a perfect sense, in a black and white, and there's no sin and there's sin. And there's no such thing as no sin. Now we can be justified, but that don't mean there's no sin. That just means we've met the conditions for God to overlook that sin. And David stood there, a murderer, adulteress, but he was justified. So he wasn't, because he was a recipient of God's mercy, not because he was perfect, and not because he was sinless, and not because deserved it, but he qualified for it. Because he turned back to God. Because he wanted to be right with God. He didn't want to just prove himself right. And when I look at King Saul, I look at someone who was trying to prove himself right. "Look, I've done right. You got King Agag here, Saul." King Saul didn't see that. He said he annihilated the Amalekites. He didn't see that King Agag was an Amalekite in his mind. He couldn't make that connection. He just blinded for that, right? He couldn't see that it was his responsibility to a great extent that the people kept of the spoils. David turned back to God and accepted that. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 51. Let's turn over this. And like I said, I wish I knew David's Psalms better. I know bits and pieces. But when I think of David, I want us to not leave here thinking about how hideous and horrible sins that David committed, because that's not what the lesson's about. As tomorrow night's lesson's not about Jonah and what he done wrong. Tonight's lesson's about victory in God. It's about victory in Jesus. And I actually asked Anthony to sing that song tonight, if he could, and he selected that. It's about victory. This is not how hideous David was in his life and what hideous things he did. Psalms 51. The title of that says, "To the chief musician, the psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet had come to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, David writes, 'I have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin, and wash Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil. In thy sight that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be without whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For you desire not sacrifice, else I would give it. You delight not in burnt offerings. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of the righteous, with the burnt offering, the whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon the altar. That's the man that's good justified before God. Not the man who committed adultery and stole a man's wife and killed him to have her. Have mercy upon me, O God. That's the message of David. That's the portrait of David. Yeah, we can paint how horrible it is, and sin is horrible. But we have sin too, don't we? And when it comes down to it, the sin of David, of murder, lying, cheating, stealing a man's wife, is no worse than what King Saul did. And it's no worse than what any sin we ever commit as well. Because all of them lead to the same result, doesn't it? Without God's mercy and without God's grace, without God justifying us, without Jesus and our sacrifice, we are all in the same boat with all of those. Condemned forever. But we have salvation. We have victory through Jesus. Hebrews 11, David's listed there, one of the faithful. One of the faithful. Of all the things he done, he still made the list. Why? Because he was perfect and good? Because he was sinless? No. Because he was justified. Because he turned to God. He desired to be right with God and did what he needed to do. Because we have David, the victor. David had victory. It wasn't a victory he could earn. He wasn't a victory he could take. And that was what King Saul wanted. King Saul wanted a victory of his own power and his own will. And David knew that he couldn't do that. His victory was a spiritual victory. His victory came through God. Just like with slaying Goliath and overcoming that bear and that lion we talked about last night, his victory came through God. That was in a physical sense. Here, his victory is a spiritual sense. He overcomes sin. David overcome. So the question, and there's the invitation for us tonight, is that simple, and it's not that long of a lesson. But how powerful a message is it? When we think about David, do we think about how horrible he was? We think about our sin. Do we think about how horrible we've been? Maybe we've not been. Probably none of us have done what David's done. I think you get jail time for most of those things today, right? But we've done things that were bad. We've sinned. We've failed. We need to turn to God as well. The story of our life is not going to be told by what bad we've done in our life. That's what's great about it. No matter how horrible and hideous our sins are, we could be a Saul of Tarsus. We're talking about Saul of Tarsus. What standing did he have? Justified, because he turned back to God. He made havoc of the church, punished Christians, tortured Christians, tried to get them to blaspheme God and his Savior, our Savior. King Saul, God of that reward as well. But without it, we have nothing. We have nothing. And we cannot carry that load. King Saul tried to carry that load. He tried to carry that burden. He tried to carry the nation for himself. He looked to himself. He looked for strong men. Well, when it comes to sin in a spiritual world, we can't carry that burden. There's nothing about that burden we can carry. None of it. But it may be in our lives we look back and we still have regret over. We have sadness in our hearts. We struggle with forgiving ourselves. We can know this. We don't have to carry that burden anymore. It can weigh us down. We can struggle with it. We can cry ourselves to sleep at night for the dumb and stupid things we've done, because that's what it boils down to, huh? We've done dumb things sometimes. It's one of the things that I pray about and talk to brothers and sisters in Christ about. I just hope I don't do something stupid, because we can do that. God can fix it, though. We can take that burden. He will carry it for us. We don't have to carry it. We can leave it behind and walk away from it, and we don't have to look back. He promises that. We first access that by confessing our faith in Jesus and being baptized and having our sins washed away. That's how David gained victory over his sin, and that's how we gain our victory. Victory in Jesus. And that's the song we're about to sing. As well as becoming a Christian and having the blessings that we can access through Jesus immediately. As a Christian, we make mistakes. And we see people in the New Testament make mistakes, and the pattern that we're to follow, that we're instructed to follow, is we just go to God in prayer. And He'll take that burden away again and again and again. 70 times 7, if He'll forgive us. Misusing that a little bit, but that's Jesus taught His disciples to forgive 70 times 7. God will do the same thing. And He can carry that burden for us. And we can have the victory. If there's something we can help you with today, we encourage you to let us know as we sing our song here just in a moment. I have to say, as Tony led the songs tonight, I love the tone of them, talking about our heart. And that's what it boils down to. We sung the song Pure in Heart, and a couple other ones. I marked that one in particular. David's heart was pure. Yeah, he failed. He was not perfect. His heart was pure because he turned back to God. He desired to serve God. Do you want to serve God? Is that your passion, that you want to turn to Him and be right and to put your own pride aside and let God take care of your sin? Because He will. If you'll be baptized or need prayer, saints, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?